86 Productions. I got dental rewards
and it burns when I pee. I love it, Daddy.
One, two, three, four.
Well, I got the clap and I can't pee.
It burns, burns, burns when I pee. When I pee, or when I pee. Burns, burns, burns.
Hey there, friends. You've heard us talk about TakeCountryBeck.com many times on the show, but have you checked them out lately? They've been on the internet for 7 years. They have tons of news, reviews, and much more. TakeCountryBeck.com is committed to promoting and supporting our kind of traditional country, Americana, and blues music. They are also active members of the Roots Music Association. So check them out today and become informed and entertained. If it wasn't for TakeCountryBeck.com, It Burns When I Pee wouldn't be what it is today. So don't let PCS get the best of you. Go check them out. TakeCountryBeck.com.
We started the tour out in Denver, Colorado. I made the first one, but I did not make the second show. 'Cause I met this girl there that brought about quite a big change. But I OD'd in Denver and I just can't remember her name.
Blake, you do realize everyone listens to the show because of me, right?
And, of course, they've got that cutie, Cheyenne.
So quit writing these crappy scripts for me. I'm just going to wing it, and if you don't like it, you can bite my ass. Now get out of here so I can give the people what they really want, a little Cheyenne. Hey there, all my podcast slaves. It's your queen of Section 86 here. Christmas time is quickly approaching, and It Burns When I Pee has a huge present for all our fans. No, I'm not going to show you my boobs. We are unwrapping an interview with Joe Buck from Hank 3's Damn Band. Your stocking is filled with great music from folks like Slack Eye Slim, Honky Tonk Special, Justin Otto, and Creech Holler. And since we did so well selling the kids 4-H Hog, we have an extra special present for you. It's a bonus interview with an amazing artist from Germany, Christopher Mueller. So whether you have been naughty or nice, you're in for a treat. You never know. Santa might even drop in to say hi. It's time for episode number 10 of It Burns When I Pee.
She treated me nice and I'd like to find her again. But I OD'd in Denver and I just can't remember.
Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to episode 10 of It Burns When I Pee. I am your host, Blake Clayton, and you're listening to the only podcast around that's spreading real country music. One squirt at a time. I want to thank everybody for downloading the show and listening. We have a huge show lined up for you. We got a great interview with Joe Buck from Hank 3's Damn Band and from Ask Jack. He has a solo project out now. We're going to pimp that out a little bit. We're going to play a couple songs from that album. One is Bitter as the Day and the other song is I Want Revenge. Going a little heavy again on this episode. Heavy duty, hardcore, real country music. We've also got a special interview with Christoph Mueller. He is an artist from Germany and he's done some artwork for us, so we're going to have him on the show. We've got tons of music. We've got everybody from Slack Eyed Slim to Honky Tonk Special and everything in between. So hold on to your pants, folks. We're going to have a great show. And without delay, let's start it off with my boy Slack Eyed Slim and his song, I Wanna Be Your Zombie. Check it out, bitches.
This sucks, dude. This is like the worst Christmas I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Second time, no one's standing in my way of finding
work of creation, I come upon thee.
Hell yes. It used to burn when I peed too, until I started up my own radio show last spring at flapdaddy.com. Since then, life is great again. Well, except for the economy anyway. I'm not a miracle worker, but my show is free, so help support real country, real rock, real blues, and yes, real alternative folk music by tuning in my Bootleg Asylum radio show every Friday night at midnight Eastern at flapdaddy.com. That's the Bootleg Asylum radio show every Friday night at midnight Eastern. Go to flapdaddy.com or MySpace/TheBootleg Asylum Radio Show for show links, and help support internet radio shows like mine, and of course, podcasts like this, Section86.com, It Burns When I Pee, with your host Blake, the Lipstick Blues Boy, Clayton. And if it still burns after you try these shows, you have no choice whatsoever but to download all of 9 podcasts that Blake has done so far, and also to tune in my Bootleg Asylum Radio Show every Friday night at midnight at flapdaddy.com. And I recommend multiple doses of each. But right now, back to Blake Clayton, right here at section86.com.
This is the Reverend DeSantis. Thank you, Howard, for letting me be on the one and only Bootleg Asylum Radio Show. Praise Jesus. Amen.
And again, that was Slack-Eyed Slim with his song, I Want to Be Your Zombie. I love Slack-Eyed stuff. You know, ever since the Halloween episode, I've been playing a lot of hardcore, a lot of evil country. It's just the kind of mood I've been in, but we're going to go back to the old school stuff. Do not worry, I will not let you down. You also heard the Bootleg Asylum Radio Show promo. Definitely check out Howard's show at flapdaddy.com. He plays a lot of great music. Howard's a really great guy and plays a lot of awesome music, so definitely check that out. Wanted to give everybody an update on the Piapalooza compilation CD. I'm still getting signed waivers back and still getting the artist's music. We're looking to release it on January 15th still. We got bands like Joey Alcorn, Jake Penrod, Hallelujah, Rachel Brooke, Wild Boars. The list goes on and on. I got about 15 or 16 bands right now. We're going to be doing a checker money order to me. I didn't want to fuss with PayPal or anything. If anybody's got a PayPal account or can give me some info on that, I'll check into it. But I think checker money order is going to be the easiest thing to do. And again, we're going to sell them for like $5 a piece, and $4 of that is going to go to the Hank Williams Museum as a donation. We're hoping to raise about $400 or $500 for them. And all the songs that are going to be on the CD are not ones I've played on the show. All the artists have given me different songs than ones I've played, so it's going to be all new stuff. So you definitely want to check that out. I will have more information on that and pretty much the finalized information on that on the episode 11, which is going to feature the Hank Cash record release party. Those guys are cramming to get that album done, and things are going really well. I've talked to those guys a few times, and they almost got the record done. We're going to have them on the show. It's going to be awesome. Well, I know you guys are tired of hearing me babble on and on and on, as usual. So let's go ahead and get into the interview with Joe Buck. His new album is called Joe Buck Yourself. It's a compilation of a lot of his individual music over the years. It's a great album. It's really a just kick in the face, angry, evil CD, and it's really awesome and really hardcore. But there is one song on it that it kind of catches you off guard, and it's called Bitter as the Day. And I really enjoy the song, and I wanted to start the interview off with this song. So this is Joe Buck with Bitter as the Day, and stay tuned for the interview afterwards. And make sure you pay attention, because there is going to be a trivia question. See you on the flip side, guys. Thanks a lot, Joe, for being on the show.
Coming down from a tragedy, the air is thin and hard to breathe. By the window pane hides another day, shadows live to usher in a symphony complete with dancing guilt at the fool's expense. Bitter finds a home, bitter comes to stay, bitter lingers on, and bitter is the way, bitter is the day. Bitter comes in waves, bitter comes to stay, bitter is the way to an early grave for my soul to save. for my soul I pray, cast bitter days away. Longing for a sin's honeysuckle sweet reprise. Memories defeat a defiant sense of hope in blue. Bitter is the day. Coming down from a tragedy, the air is thin and hard to breathe. Written for its line, desperation's tale, as if to say, bitter is the way, bitter is the day, bitter comes in waves, bitter comes to stay. Bitter is the way to an early grave, for my soul to save, for my soul I pray, cast bitter days away. Bitter is the day, bitter comes in waves, bitter comes to stay, cast bitter days away.
Welcome back, everybody, to episode 10 of It Burns When I Pee. And we have with us as our special guest, Joe Buck from Hank Williams III Band, and he also has a new album out of his own. So we're going to talk with Joe about that new album. How you doing today, Joe?
Good.
So when did you first start playing music?
When I was a kid. I don't remember really not playing, to be honest with you. I know that sounds stupid, but it's true.
Now, were you basically, did you start with the guitar and then the bass, or how did that go?
No, my sister is a musician, and she was the oldest, and she was like 18 when I was born, maybe 17, but it was like, I have pictures of me behind a drum set I'm using right now to record music that I got pictures when I was like 2 years old behind that thing. But she taught me since I was really young. I played the piano and the drums. I didn't play the guitar till I was like 17. I saw Eddie Van Halen in 1980. It just changed my life. So
there you go.
I was like, that looks like a pretty good job.
So who are some of your first musical influences?
Well, I mean, I can preface it by, I'm from a farm in a really rural area, so we didn't get a lot of music. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Like, it was all, if it was anything, it was all completely and utterly commercial. It was like, weird, I'm from a farm, but I hated country music. And it was like, I didn't want it because I hated country music, it was because I hated what they were playing. And they had already run it, you know, it was like Barbara Mandrell or something. So I guess my earliest, but the thing is, it's like I hated that, but I had my sister's old collection of like Buddy Holly and Chuck Berry and Elvis, Carl Perkins. So I had a lot of the Memphis stuff, Jerry Lee Lewis, which I loved as a kid. You know, I mean, how can you not love that stuff? But, and, you know, I loved it. It's like, it was like the mid-70s. So it's like I was lucky enough when I was a kid to have like AC/DC and Lynyrd Skynyrd. And I loved the Cars. I wasn't thinking about a career in music. Those aren't really influences, but that's what I listened to when I was a kid.
Okay. So you played with the legendary Shack Shakers for their 1998 album, Hunker Down. What promoted you to leave that band?
When I was Cockadoodle Down, and it was a Bloodshot record. Why did I leave that band?
Yeah.
I didn't. I got kicked out of it. It was, it sucks. It's like I got that band going, you know. I mean, it was me and JD, the singer. That was all that. Like, the album that got us going was Cockadoodle Down, the Bloodshot release. And I played everything on that, basically. The drums, the guitars, the bass, the accordion, the mandolins, the banjos. You know, and it's like, so we made that record and blah, blah, blah. We go tour, everything going good. And, you know, I mean, honestly, the thing was, JD was jealous of my, you know, popularity, I guess, at the end of the day. And Mark, the bass player, hated me because all he heard every night was, hey, you're okay, but you're no Joe Buck. Well, you know, they'd seen a lot of people have seen the Hank shows, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, he resented me for that, and I'm like, ugh, I give you a job, dude, you know? So, but it's better off in the end, I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Sure, definitely.
I mean, I wouldn't have the one-man band thing, and it's like, the best art that little faggot singer ever made was kicking me out of that band and pissing me off so bad that it compelled me to do what I did on the solo thing.
Right, so in actuality, it was for the best for everybody, because, like you said, you're
making... Well, it wasn't best for them, I mean.
Well, yeah.
They play with hacks now, you know?
Right.
Like, you know, you can't do that, like, where you have something very special and then just, like, think that you can replace something like that with... You know what I'm saying? It's like, they ended up paying for it in the end.
Sure. Can you tell us the story behind your Hank Williams Sr. tattoo? I mean... How did it become that you got it? And the reason why I ask is because I have one as well, and that's kind of a staple signature of you is you have that tattoo, and I just thought it would be nice to know about the story behind that.
Dude, I was, like, playing in punk bands, but it's, like, about 1982, it was, like, I was way into the Ramones and the Sex Pistols, and there was this independent scene happening. I loved R.E.M. because it was like they were Southern, but they didn't sound overtly Southern, you know, and they weren't a big band, you know what I'm saying? But this friend of mine, I had a friend that was a produce guy at the Piggly Wiggly, and I was having this party, and he brought over the 40 greatest Hank, you know, that dual cassette. Everybody's seen that thing. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
The 40 greatest hits. Put that in, and it's like, it changed my life, obviously. I was like, I didn't listen to anything but Hank Williams from 82 to 86. It was like, it just made everything else sound stupid.
Right.
Well, I mean, it's completely heartfelt. It's thought-provoking. It's so passionate. It's simple, yet incredibly hard. You know, I mean, and heavy. I mean, I would, like, sit there with my punk rock friends, and I'd be like, listen, I'm so lonesome I could cry, and then, you know, going, do you hear how heavy that is? We could have 10 stacks of Marshalls and never be that heavy.
And it's just every word had meaning to it, and every song was, like, a part of his life, and it definitely draws you in.
Well, yeah, and it's like, and I decided I was going to be a musician, and it's like, at that point, I realized, no matter what I know nothing. I was like, how in the hell could I have thought that I was so in tune with what was going on with music and blah 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 and not revere Hank Williams, you know? And then it was like, God, what else is out there that I don't know about, you know, that is going to affect me like this, you know? And it's like, from that it led me to all the things I listened to, you know, I mean, finding Django Reinhardt and, you know, Charlie Christian and, you know, and I'm just passing on some of the more obscure, maybe, but it's like, and of course, every country artist. I mean, from, you know, the Carter Family and Jimmy Rogers to, you know, Bill Monroe to, you know, Bill Monroe. I love Bill Monroe. I mean, it's like, Bill freaks me out. He's that good. You know, and bluegrass has not gotten better since Bill Monroe. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs, great. But is it Bill Monroe? No. I mean, Jim and Jesse, Reno and Smiley, all of it, great. But is it Bill Monroe? No, because he's the one that it was coming from. And you know what I'm saying? The rest of them were like Bill Monroe cover bands. And the only bands that were any good in the bluegrass thing were like the ones that played with Bill. I mean, Lester and Earl came right through the band. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, definitely.
Played with Bill forever. And it's like Jimmy Martin sang with Bill Monroe forever.
Everybody came through him. It was basically he was.
But he taught him how to do it right. And it's like after that, it became, you know, the times were changing and things like that. And it's like, so it became a lost art. You know, because with every, it's like if you make a tape and then you make a reproduction of that tape, something's lost in that generation. You know what I'm saying? Some clarity. And it's like, after it's been done so many times, it's just kind of a, you know, pale comparison of what it really was, like country music is today. Like Hank Williams, it's like, Hank Williams is hillbilly music. You know what I'm saying? It's like, there's fine little definitions, like bluegrass, what's bluegrass, what's hillbilly, what's western swing, what's, you know, honky-tonk, what's this and that, but like, as far as what it is, like Bill Monroe, it's like, I mean, Hank Williams, it's like everything converging at that time, black music, bluegrass, string music, hillbilly music, all converging. It's like, even swing at the time, it's like, it all came together in Hank Williams. It's like, you know, perfectly eloquent, like, what was American music? It was right there.
Right. And
you know, it's like, since Hank Williams, has it gotten any better? No. You know, I mean, it's continually digressing.
Definitely. And that's why we have the show, is because we're trying to, what, you know, we are bucking the system of the corporate Nashville, and that's why we have, you know, artists like you that are making the true music, and it's not being heard by the masses. I mean, we got a lot of following, but it's just, you know, it seems like everybody's turning up their nose to what is real music.
Well, I mean, go to a Walmart, dude. It's just the society. I mean, they don't care. They don't care about what came before us. I mean, they only can accept and consume what is right before them and in their path. I mean, that's the whole thing. It's like, they know in Nashville that that's not music. I mean, they know that. But they don't care, because it's about numbers. And it's like, you have a lowest common denominator, man. It's like, you have, what that music is being sold to is a 35-year-old single, 225-pound lady sitting on a couch watching CMT and switching back and forth between that and Oprah and Dr. Phil.
Right. Definitely.
You know what I'm saying? Those people don't go to shows. Those people don't seek out music. Those people don't. They just accept what they're given. And it's like, if you only offer them 10 artists, you know, on your channel that plays the music, then they're going to have you get a 1 in 10 chance that they're going to buy the record that you're selling.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't, they don't care. It's like, they'll throw it out there. Oh, yeah, so-and-so sells better, so we'll push him a little harder.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? There's no A&R guy out there, like, searching down these, like, incredible artists and things like that. It's like, that, because, I mean, Hank Williams, I mean, let's go back to Hank Williams. I mean, everything changed after Hank Williams. Owen Bradley and Chet Atkins single-handedly killed country music with the Nashville sound. They wouldn't let any of the guys play with their band, the blah, 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 the blah, blah, blah. It was like, because the reason was, is because they didn't have control then. I mean, what did you do to produce Hank Williams? You set up a microphone and hit record.
Right.
And, you know, you want to call yourself a producer and take all the money?
Right.
See, that just, it was like, whoa. Wait a minute, we can't have another Hank Williams where he writes the songs, sings the songs, puts together his own band. He's going to figure out pretty soon that he can buy a recording unit and hit record and plug a microphone into it.
And then all their share of the money all is gone then. And
right. It's like that can never happen again. From now on, we separate everything. The singer sings, the songwriter songwrites. I produce, I make all the money, I record them in the studio that I choose, where I get a kickback from that studio. You see what I'm saying? It's like, that's where it all... So then it's like Owen Bradley and Chet Atkins, like, they started running the show. And that's when it all went, you know, it's like they started putting strings on even Hank Williams, you know, posthumously, but, like, you know, strings on Hank Williams. You know, all because of a little thing. They went to some New York party, and Owen Bradley and they were like saying, oh yeah, we produce records, and they were like, some New York producer that produces, like, Tony Bennett said, son, don't call yourself a producer, you make hillbilly music. And it's like, from that day forth, they were going to show them that they could put more strings on anything than anybody.
Right.
You know, and from there has it digressed to what, you know, a honky tonk made honky tonk.
There you go.
I'm like, what is that? Yeah. I'm like, Hank Williams was about upward mobility, man. It was about getting out of the stuff, rising above, having the strength to, like, I mean, that's just dumbing shit down to nothing.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, that Toby Keith song. I'm a big old fucking dumb monkey.
Right.
I'm like, that is just like, I mean, look at Bill Monroe, the pictures of him. Look at Hank Williams. I mean, these guys were wearing like $1,000 handmade suits from the time. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That was like buying a Cadillac.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You're going to tell me that those guys were just buck-toothed idiots? No, man, those were proud men from the South. You know, strong, smart. I mean, the lyrics of Hank Williams, I mean, it's obvious. It just reads like some of the best, the most beautiful poetry alone.
Definitely.
With regardless of his singing and musical ability.
Definitely.
You know, so, I mean, it's like, compare Honky Tonk but Donkey Donk to Thy Burdens Are Greater Than Mine is like, you know, I mean,
you
big pile of shit and
right.
Beautiful, you know, whatever. It, you know, and that's disappointing, but at the same time, it's like, dude, that's just human nature, man. It's like, people talk to me, it's like, I'm not on any label or anything like that, and I don't want to be.
Right.
I'm like, this is very real to me what happens now. It's like, I don't care anything about being a rock star. I don't care anything about any of that stuff. I enjoy, it gives me worth to be able to write and play things that come to my head and go and perform them, and people, you know, I don't, enjoy might not be the right word, but enjoy the experience, and that, you know, I hand draw my stuff right there for them. It goes right to that. It's like my whole little office is tiny, and it's like, that's where art exists, in those places, you know, in little clubs. It doesn't exist in arenas. Art doesn't exist in arenas, you know. So it's a, there's X amount of people, and what you do is as an artist, or what you're doing is you try to make available an alternative to whatever else is out there, and it's their job to find it out. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
I mean, I used to bitch about Nashville all the time. I still do some, but it's like, you know, what's the point? It's like bitching about the government. It's like, you can bitch about the government all you want, but you can't do anything. But what you can do is you can go in your own community, right across the street, there might be somebody that needs help. And you can go help that person in your immediate view. And that actually does something. You know, so if you want to affect the government, you start at your own level around you, and it will trickle up. It's never going to go and see, you know, you carrying somebody carrying a sign and going, fuck this, fuck that, is going to make a difference. You know, and it's just like the music thing. Instead of complaining about the state of it, just go out and offer people an alternative. And, you know, and Hank 3 has done that. I mean, I'm so proud of him for that. I'm like, I tell him, like, you know, it's like, dude, you have influenced your generation. And it's like, as an artist, you cannot ask for anything more. I mean, and you did it honestly. It's like, people talk to us and it's like, y'all should be playing blah, 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 blah. And it's like, dude, we've already won. Don't you get it? You exist outside of all that bullshit, whether they push a record or play it on a radio station or any of that, or somebody writes about it. It still exists on a great level.
Right.
I mean, it's like, that's real. Those people aren't going to something like being inundated like every 5 seconds from MTV or CMT or VH1 or one of those, or the big rock stations or whatever, being told to go buy Hank 3, go see the show, blah, blah, blah. No, these are people that we all found each other. Do you know what I'm saying? They were looking for something. We're looking for something. You know, and we're all meeting in these places, in these cities, across in clubs. And that is a, you know, I mean, art is alive and well. I mean, it's hard to find.
Right.
But it's there.
Definitely.
I mean, it's definitely not happening in the cities either.
Right.
It's the smaller towns where these kids are like, they're the smart kids, so they're not, they still have some old values or something. And it's like, so they have this weird work ethic, you know, that like is gone now mostly. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, they have a work ethic still where it's like, and it's like, those are the kids that are doing something. And, you know, I'm proud that, you know, being involved with something like Hank that, you know, I mean, because it's all him, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, that to be involved with something like that and to, you know, see that people are understanding, and all of a sudden, you know, it's like, you know, punk kids are listening to Hank Williams and Johnny Cash and, you know, even finding out Webb Pierce and Lefty Frizzell. And, you know, I mean, the list of greats, Little Jimmy Dickens, I mean, just rocky in the dirt. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely. So let's talk a little bit about your solo project. The title of it is Joe Buck Yourself. And can you tell us a little bit about the album?
Oh, it's like it's my greatest hits record.
There you go.
No, it's just it's a compilation of like, it's got new stuff on it, but it's a compilation of all the little hand-drawn stuff that I did and all the little singles and EPs and stuff like that. And it's the first release I've ever manufactured. Mm-hmm. The rest of them were just burned and I drew on them.
Sure.
But it was like, I still do it at the shows. It's like one of those things I'm going to keep doing. I don't know why. It takes me forever, but it's important to me for some reason. It's like, but yeah, that thing is good. I'm proud of it. It's a live thing is a good experience for the. I mean, it's. I don't know. I'm doing something that they ain't seen. I don't think or heard. So, and it's honestly me. I mean, I say things that I'm not afraid to. Like I said, like the Shack Shakers kicking me out of that band. It's like it freed me up. It's like my father died right after that too, and it was like. I didn't have, my father to, I don't know, it released me somehow. I'm not saying that was a good thing, but what I'm saying? It's like, mm-hmm. I was just like, I don't give a fuck what I say. I'm going to say what I think.
Right.
And it was like that first record I made, which has still got, most of the hits on it, and a lot of them, it's like, that was born from such reality. It's like, I didn't care. I was making a record. I didn't care if I sold one copy. I was trying to make a record that nobody could even listen to, really. I was, going to be so, and succeeded to a certain extent. And, so artistically, it was like, wow. And then, I had never done that gig by myself. And it's like, I made this record and booked a tour of me and Byron before Byron, I don't know if you know Scott Byron.
Sure.
Well, Byron and me did a two-month tour or one-man band deathmatch thing. And, it's like, I'd never done it before my life and just went and did it. And it's like, found my way within it. And now it's like, I have a great time doing it. At first I was just like, what the hell have I got myself into?
Exactly. It's kind of...
But, you throw yourselves to the wolves. I wasn't afraid. I was like, I know it's like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And now it's like, I go play with the Super Suckers or something. It's just like... Jesus Christ, I heard the thing. It's like, I didn't even think about it. It's like, we didn't realize you were by yourself. We thought you had a band. And then it's like, and it's nothing. I don't have a band. I just use a kick drum. And I don't call myself a one-man band because I'm not. I'm not a band. I'm just a dude, It's like kind of a weird thing. There's a lot of one-man bands now that they all try to play a bunch of shit at the same time, and it really just kind of sounds like garbage.
So how do you balance the time for your individual music along with working with Hank 3 and his band?
I work all the time. All the time. How do I manage my time? When tours are starting in, I usually piggyback. I'll just get off the bus and get in my RV and go do 2 months on my own when I know that Hank has to rest. That show takes a huge strain on his voice. It's 2.5 hours and doing to sing. And he's a singer. There's hardly any singers today. You know what I'm saying? They use so many vocal effects and things like that. You can kind of whisper into a microphone and, with rock music, it kind of sounds like something.
Sure.
But, he's a singer. And he projects and it's, the quality of his voice. And it's like, to do that day in and day out with the screaming thing with Ass Jack, it's like, yeah, it's amazing. Really, mm-hmm. Eventually it's like he has to take a break.
Right.
In those breaks, I go tour. And it's, I don't know. Some people would say, Cat, what are you doing? It's like, because I don't really have a life. I have a beautiful life for me. And, I work. But, I just go and work. And that's what makes me not do drugs and drink. It's like, I used to be so, when Hank first met me, it's like, about 10 years ago, we were good friends. It's just, that's why it's like I love him so much, too. It's like he's one of the only people in Nashville that didn't give up hope on me. I was so gone that, I was about dead. And so he always gave give up hope. And when I got clean, it was like he was right there, ready to go kick some ass. I was like, yeah.
Definitely. definitely. So what's the most difficult part of putting together an independent album? Is it more finding the money or finding the time, or what did you find the most difficult about finally getting it together to where you could put it out?
That's like, there is no putting it out. You know what I'm saying? I mean, my friend Christian runs my website. I mean, I made a record and my friend mass produced it. I mean, like I said, but I'm lucky. I live outside of all that stuff. So, like, releasing a record is like, I always joke when people say, I was like, I don't know what release record is. I make them, and when I get them from my CD burner, I guess it's released.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, when I go play and I sell them, it's like, most of the stuff, like I said, is show only. It's like, I'm not a very good capitalist. I mean, I just, as long as it's like, it sustains itself, which it does. The people are very generous. I mean, I'm amazed that anybody gives a crap. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I get to go play in, like, Bismarck, North Dakota, and Fargo, North Dakota, you know, to 100 kids that no bands go through there.
Right.
And I'm like, what the hell is wrong with these people? Not them. I mean, the bands, I'm like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, and these are cool kids. You know, Bismarck, North Dakota, man. I mean, these kids put together, they got their own scene, they play music, they're all music, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And they hardly ever get out of there either because they're so isolated. So they have to do their own thing.
Right.
And it's like, I was like, wow, who knew? Bismarck, North Dakota, what the hell? I mean, they've got this friend of theirs that owns this kind of transient hotel, so it's like, kind of like punk rockers and junkies and... They're bad, you know what I'm saying? It's just, there's some drug problems there, obviously, you know, and things like that. But it's like, there's this transient hotel with a bar on the other side of it where they have live shows.
Sure.
I'm like, dude, y'all don't realize, it's like, this is the last bastion of punk rock. See, you're still, like, people aren't messing with you. I mean, because all the punk clubs that I grew up in are closed because, you know, they had to have codes. I mean, all the clubs I grew up playing in, it's like, well, yeah, the place is about to burn down, sure. They've got everything overloaded. You know, but who gave a crap? It was in the middle of the worst areas in town, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But now you can't get away with that. You know, I mean, that sucks, too. It's like, that's what killed live music, all the codes and restrictions on what it took to, you know, I mean, where before you just like, yeah, we have a band, yeah, sure.
pecking
in that corner and plug your stuff in and play.
Yeah, and pecking as many people as it'll fit, and you know, whoever wants to cram in the door to get in there and listen to, you know, they're in.
You know, it's great that Hank has had such success that he has, and the crowds are a lot bigger and everything. But it's like, I hate barriers. I hate those barriers. It's like that dead space between us and them. It sucks. It sucks. I'm like, because even Hank, I mean, we grew up with people. Like, you had the mic stand, and there was somebody standing in front of the
right.
You know what I'm saying? Right in your face. And it's like, that's what you were used to. And it's like, that feels right. You know, and all of a sudden, it's like, Jesus. You know, they're so far away. They don't like that.
Right.
But, I mean, I ain't got a problem in the world.
So, I've met you a couple times before shows, and you have no problem taking the time to sign autographs or take pictures with fans. How important is it to you to stay close to your fans?
Dude, it's everything. I mean, Minnie Pearl. She didn't give this advice to me. I heard her tell somebody this. She goes, love your audience, and they will love you back. And she said, you can't fake it. You know, and it's like, I'm grateful for every single person that gives a crap. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm grateful to them because they give me worth. That I got something to do tonight to where I don't feel like a worthless idiot where I got to jab needles in my arm and, you know, anesthetize myself to nothingness. You know, it's like their life, really. You know, I mean, know them, know us. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And not that, you know, and Hank is different. We all are in a weird way. I mean, it's like there's not an us and them thing with the people. You know, and it's like nobody's trying to be... You know, there's enough rock stars and that type of thing, you know, whatever, that self-absorbed, self-loathing, egomaniac crap or whatever. There's enough of that going on, you know. There's people got that covered. You know, like I said, gifted something, people a little different. I know it freaks me out every time that they, people are so amazed that I would sit and talk to them or something. I'm like,
well, I know. For me, I mean, when the first time, you know, I saw one of your guys' shows, you know, I was amazed at the energy that you had on stage. And the second time me and my brother went up to Champaign, we were standing outside the bus, and I'm like, oh, there's Joe Buck. I'm like, I was going to have him sign my hat. I'm like, oh, I don't want to bother him, you know. But I came up to you, and I was just amazed that, you know, you were very humble, and you were happy to meet me. You know, it seemed like you were happy to meet Joe Schmo, the fan. And that meant a lot to me, because that showed me the, you know, I respect your guys' music and what you're doing, and you guys respect us as fans.
Absolutely do, because that's all we got. You know what I'm saying? Each other. And it's like, I feel very important about this thing. It's like I said, I kind of mentioned my addiction problems and things, but it's like, I'm like, if I ever disrespect that once, that situation, then all the great things in my life will be taken away from me.
Mm-hmm.
If I disrespect it once. Because, I mean, being a user and blah, 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 you disrespect everything. You know, and it's like, so now I'm on the other side of it, and it's like, I am humble about it. It's like, I work my brains out because I'm trying to be good. I mean, you know, I'm like, it's important to me that we, you know, like, and thanks, anyway, it's like, it's all, the only thing it's about is y'all having a good time and us, you know, doing a good job.
Right.
That's it. You know, it's like, that's all we're trying to do. And it's really no simpler than that. I mean, no grander than that. I mean, but you have to work hard. I mean, you can't expect things just to happen. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, and maybe we have to work a little harder, you know, because there isn't help outside the thing. You know, and in the end, that makes us so much stronger. I mean, we had this thing where we were opening, we were doing these shows with David Allan Coe. And originally it had been billed as Hank 3, Old 97s, and David Allan Coe opening the show. And it's like, can't have David Allan Coe open up. What the heck? You know, so Hank is just like, what is that? So he wanted to, like, it was like, no, let's just David, and then Hank, and then Old 97s. Well, the Old 97s wouldn't have anything to do with it, about giving up their slot. So Hank was just like, okay, we'll go on first and let David take our slot. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, the Old 97s got a lesson that night. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure, definitely.
They got their lunch handed to them on a platter. You know, it's like, yeah, it's like, I was like, oh yeah, you guys can go around to your little frat boy and play your little folk country stuff, and you got your little singer that shakes his butt and stuff like that. Yeah, well, you just had a bomb go off in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They didn't even know what to do. And I was like, there you go, guys. You know what I'm saying? Here's these guys that come in with all their little, you know, the Spin magazines from, you know, and all. It's like, you had the real deal just go off in front of them. They didn't know what to do.
Right.
They couldn't compete with that. It was like, people were screaming at them, next band, next band. Well, I mean, real and not. I mean, you know when you put them right next to each other, people, they're not stupid.
Right, definitely.
You know, I mean, it's like with Hank, it's like we go play. I mean, there was a famous thing that happened in Sonora, I think, or Sonoma, I forget. It's like it was some outdoor festival where, like, people were fired because they heard the F-word from, you know, six blocks away. Shit. Just hilarious stuff. But the funny thing is, everybody at that place, when we were playing Aztec, had their hands in the air. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The only people that were upset were the people that were commissioners seven blocks away. The people, you know what I'm saying? Nobody that was there had any problem with it.
Right.
I was just like, yeah, it's funny. It's like, it's the people that have the problem. I mean, it's not people that have the problems. It's the people that think they're in charge that have the problems.
All right. Well, Joe, I appreciate you being on the show. I want to let everybody know that you can go to www.joebuckyourself.com and also to your MySpace, Joe Buck Yourself, motherfucker. And you can get the CD, and I think you have a DVD out there that they can order. and you're touring with your, you know, you're touring with Hank all the time, and if you're not touring with him, you're touring on your own. So there's
You should plug this. It's like we're doing like a month, leaving just starting right now with the Reverend Horton Heat Nashville Pussy that goes through like right up to Thanksgiving, and then on the West Coast we'll be doing like the Christmas thing like in Anaheim, and I know we're at the San Diego House of Blues on New Year's or something like that, but check out any of the websites.
Awesome stuff, man. And Joe, I, like I said, I appreciate you as an artist, and I appreciate you as a person. You know, like I said, just taking the time to say hi to me one time. I mean, it was meaningful, and it was to show me that you guys care about who's out there listening to you, which you don't see in a lot of other places. You know, they don't care who's in the third or fourth row or the all the way in the back, but you guys are. And keep on doing what you're doing, and give them hell.
Hey, brother, I believe every note I play with all my heart every night.
All right, brother. Hey, and thanks for taking the time, and good luck on the tour, and be safe. One that gives you the music info you deserve, that you crave, and that you want. So cock your keyboard and aim toward 9bullets.net. You'll hit the mark, this site. Go to 9bullets.net, where all of their alibis are 100 proof. Send them an email today. Tell them you heard about them when it burns when I pee. And they'll send you a free sticker. Hot damn! All right, we just got done hearing I Want Revenge by Joe Buck. Again, his CD is called Joe Buck Yourself. Go to his MySpace or go to his website, check it out, order it. It's a great album. It's one of those albums like when you're really pissed off and you put it in and you're playing it, and by the end of the CD, you're just like, it's all gone, man. All that anger is gone. You just let it all out. So definitely check out Joe Buck. Check him out with Hank 3. Wanted to tell everybody that we got a new MySpace group out there. If you go on our MySpace page, scroll down on the left-hand side after the hyperlinks and all that good stuff, there is a group link, and it's the It Burns When IP Executive Golden Shower Lounge. I just made it up so we could have different forums and stuff. People can talk about the show. They can talk about stuff outside the show, like bands. It's basically a cheap way for me to get a message board up. I don't really have the money to do a message board. Don't really have time to do a message board. So we thought we'd try this out. It's the It Burns When IP Executive Golden Shower Lounge. Click on it. Check it out. Make a request to be a member, and we'll hook you up. And I'm sure occasionally I'll throw some things out there only for the VIPs of the show. So definitely check it out. We'd appreciate hearing from you. So I promised you guys we would have a trivia question, but we actually have two trivia questions. The first trivia question is for a Joe Buck t-shirt, and it's more of an It Burns When I Pee trivia question. As you know, every time we put out an episode, we have show art that goes with it. And the question is, of all 10 show art pictures of It Burns When I Pee, which ones did not have a toilet in them? Again, which ones did not have a toilet in it? Send us an email at burnswhenip86@gmail.com. In the subject line, put in It Burns When I Pee trivia question and give us the answer. And now for the second trivia question. Look at this. Two giveaways, two interviews. The show is huge. I can't help it. Anyway, this is for a Joe Buck Yourself CD and a patch, and we got some other flyers and stuff to put out in it. During the interview, Joe talked about growing up and getting into music. What instrument did he say that he still has and he still plays that he had in his childhood? And make sure you're very specific on what kind of instrument it is. So for that one, put in the subject line, Joe Buck trivia question. So we got two trivia questions, two chances to win. All right, well, I see that I've talked for about 2 minutes and 45 seconds, which is 2 minutes too long for everybody. Let's go ahead and get the next segment rolling. We're going to have a special phone call from Santa Claus himself, since it's the Christmas holiday. So Santa Claus is coming on, and then after that, we've got a quick ad for the Hank Williams 55th Memorial Celebration that's going to be happening at the Hank Williams Museum. So again, Santa Claus, Hank Williams Celebration, and another song from a friend of mine, Justin Otto, from Pensacola, Florida, entitled Try to Run. So, tons of stuff going on. I can't keep up with it. I'm rambling on. Check out the next segment.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, everyone. It's Santa Claus here, coming to you straight from the North Pole. It's colder than ever up here, but Mrs. Claus is keeping me warm. If you know what I mean. I let all the elves have the night off and sent them to Igloos. That's the local strip club up here. Those little guys have worked their asses off, so I figured they needed a little shaggy shaggy. Rudolph is a VIP up there, so I'm sure he will show them all a good time. So enough about me and the elves. What I wanted to talk to you about is your Christmas shopping. You need to go to Section86.com's online store. They have everything you need for all those people on your list. You can get an It Burns and IP t-shirt, bumper sticker, hats, and much more. You can even get It Burns and IP thongs, which Mrs. Claus is wearing as we speak. And what kid wouldn't want a cute little teddy bear with the It Burns When I Pee logo on it? Ha 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 ha. So take care of all your gift-giving needs at www.cafepress.com/section86. Make it easy on me and the boys. Go check out section86.com's online store. Well, have a Merry Christmas, everyone. Mrs. Claus is looking hot in those thongs, and she only stays up till 9 p.m., so I gotta go. Have a very Merry Christmas. Ho, 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 ho.
As we journey along on life with you.
Looking for something to do this New Year's Eve? Well, if you're anywhere near Alabama, check out Hank Williams' 55th Memorial Celebration at the Hank Williams Museum in Montgomery, Alabama. On December 31st, between 7 and midnight, They're going to have tons of music and some finger foods at the museum until 11 p.m. And if weather permits, they're going to have a candlelight vigil at the Hank Williams statue to ring in the new year. If you're a member of the Hank Williams Museum, it's free and guests are $10. So you want to RSVP by December 22nd. That's limited seating, so make sure you do that. And then on January 1st, New Year's Day, at 10 a.m. at Oakwood Cemetery, they're going to bow their heads in memory of Hank Williams. Then from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the museum, they're going to have Black Eyed Peas and more music. The cost for that, again, members free and guests $5. And it needs to be RSVP'd as well. The wife and I went last year, and it was a great time. So give Beth a call at the museum. Their number is 334-262-3600. And again, the Hank Williams Museum is located at 118 Commerce Street in Montgomery, Alabama, zip code 36104. Limited seating, guys and gals, so definitely give them a call before December 22nd. And tell them you're friends of It Burns When I Pee.
Then we must pay. But the debt can't be paid with silver, not gold. No friends, it won't
pay. Hey, this is Justin Otto from Pensacola, Florida, and you're listening to It Burns When I Pee, the only podcast worth a damn.
We are back, and again, thank you very much, Justin, for giving us that song. Again, if you guys wanted to know, it's called Try to Run. You can check him out at MySpace as well. Just put in Justin, not Jason, Justin Otto, O-T-T-O. Check out Justin. Let him know you heard him here on It Burns When I Pee. Moving right along, we're going to get into our next interview, and it's with an artist from Germany named Christoph Mueller. The guy is amazing. His artwork's amazing. If you don't know anything about him, you've seen his artwork because you've seen the Episode 8 Halloween Edition show art and the show art for this episode, Episode 10, which is one of my favorites. But anyway, I thought it'd be awesome to have Christoph on the show, kind of tell us a little bit about his artwork. He's doing a lot of things that are intertwined with the style of music that we're promoting, so get ready to check that out. But before that, our favorite part of the show is giving out the contact information. If you want to leave us a voicemail or send us a message, our dial-in number is area code 309-761-4227. 309-761-4227. Give us a call. Give us a shout-out. Let us know you're listening. Tell us what you think of the show. We put every voicemail on. I have never gotten a voicemail that I have not put on. So we would love to hear from you. We'd love to put some voicemails in between songs and in between segments, and we'd love to hear from you. So give us a call. If you want to email us, it's at burnswhenip86@gmail.com. And, of course, there is our MySpace, www.myspace.com/itburnswhenip86. And the online store is www.cafepress.com/section86. I think that's everything. Yeah, pretty sure. Anyway, let's get into the Christoph Mueller interview. And on the other side of that will be a song called Black Mountain by Creech Holler. So we'll see you on the other side, folks. Oh, wait, I already said that. I gotta think of a new tagline. Oh, well.
Ready to shoot the in-laws? Got the lights hung on that damn tree? Yeah, me neither. But I am ready for some good music. Trivia about my favorite insurgent country artist and some tips on getting my fantasy football numbers out of the red. Spend some time with Blake and the other scabs from Section 86 and the It Burns When I Pee podcast. Grab some digital vinery and Tarzan swing over to www.outlawpunk.com and check out the funk from Outlaw Punk. Kick through some of the original Trash Can Americana and meet up at the back entrance of the club behind the honky tonk joint and gander at these hoes booty dancing to some gangsta grass. Tone Z and Wrench. From the new release, Gangsta Grass. Outlaw has got your digital downloads covered, but only through your ears. Head on over to the show at www.outlawpunk.com. Oh, I can already hear that urinal boot dance going. Let's get back to some music with Blake.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to It Burns When I Pee. And we have a special bonus interview for episode 10, and it's our good friend Christoph Mueller from Germany. How are you today, sir?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Doing better than you. It's 7 o'clock here and it's 2 a.m. there, so I appreciate you staying up and giving us a call.
I never sleep, you know. It's no problem.
Well, for some of our listeners, wanted to get everybody up to speed. You're a good artist that I've seen online with at MySpace and some of your artwork, and you were nice enough to do the artwork for episode 8, our Halloween episode. And so we got to talking, and I thought, hey, you know, you got a lot of stuff going on, so have an interview and talk about some of the projects you got going on.
Sure, yeah.
But first, I guess we should talk about kind of about the music. What kind of drew you to some of the bands that you're listening to now, like Hank Three, Sons of Perdition, and bands like that? What drew you to them?
Well, I guess, you know, I always liked country music. I always liked Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, stuff like that. And as I grew older, you know, I discovered that there's a lot of people about my age who make really great music and try to not just make music for money, but to get a message over, you know, try to explore themselves with the music. And, well, actually, they're just doing real music, and that's what I'm looking for, you know, real art. And when people start to look at themselves and don't mind about the money, but do what they do out of a certain passion. And so I felt at home with that music pretty soon.
And so kind of describe the kind of the country music scene over in Germany. Is there a line in the sand between the two, like we have here, the pop country and then the underground country? Or what kind of bands are coming out of Germany right now?
Well, you know, I don't think that anybody can really make money with country music over here. So all the people who make country music, is really a thing, you know, it's really about passion for those people. And it's not a big scene as far as I know. And it's also, you know, those people, it's kind of an outsider thing, because, I mean, country is kind of music that's deeply rooted in American culture. Sure. And for somebody to play that music over here in Germany, it's kind of odd. So it's different over here, but there's quite some people who do it, and some people do it kind of well also, yeah.
But now, do you guys, I mean, do you get a lot of of the American pop country over there? I mean, is it on radio stations, or do you not get very much of that either?
You know, there was one band based around a comedian, a German comedian, and they had a big hit with a song. But you know, it's not real country music. I don't know. I guess they just like the music, and so they got a couple of guys together, played some songs. But it's not like, for instance, Hank Three. He's got country music running right through his veins,
sure.
And he's got the origins and stuff like that. And it's really different because what I care about is original music, you know?
Can you associate your artwork with that style of music? I know that I think the music that you listen to, it kind of comes out in your artwork. Can you kind of tell me the correlation between the two?
Yeah. You know, country music deals with suffering, for instance, and with the darker sides of life and love and everything. So these are points that I try to, my work is based on these things, you know. I try to look in a mirror of my soul in my work, and try to learn more about myself by, you know, facing some of my fears and some of the darker sides inside me. And I think there's a thing that I have in common with some of the people who make like underground country music, like Hank Three or, you know, Reverend Scott H. Byron.
I know that your artwork has actually inspired Sons of Perdition to write a song called The Death of Christoph Mueller, which they're going to be releasing on their next album. Can you kind of tell me the story behind that and how that happened?
Yeah, that was about one of the craziest things that have happened to me so far. Actually, he wrote to me over MySpace telling me that if I was interested in having a dirge written for me, you know, for my funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, I don't know, some guy, crazy idea, sure, why not? And I never thought anything would come of that, but then he sent me the lyrics to the song and told me that he was going to record it in the next months and was going to come be part of the upcoming album. And yeah, pretty crazy thing. And it turned out that he'd been to Germany before, got friends over here, and who knows, maybe we'll meet in the near future. Might be. There's talks about an exhibition in a year or so, and, you know, he might come and play the music for the opening.
And also, with that inspired another band, one of our friends, Hallelujah, and they've been inspired to write a song as kind of the prequel to that, which is going to be called Death Rattle, which is the birth of Christoph Mueller. So you're getting a lot of, your artwork has inspired a lot of musicians to write songs, and it must be a big honor.
Yeah, it's really interesting because so far it's always been that I've been extremely inspired by music, and now it turns out that some people are inspired by my artwork, and that's really satisfying because well, what I'm trying to do is reach people somehow, you know. I want people to maybe even identify with what I do and understand it, you know. When there's people coming and telling me they're writing songs about me now, well, I guess, yeah, that gives a good feeling, you know.
Sure. And, you know, like I said, you did the show art for episode 8, our Halloween episode, which was some amazing artwork, and it was great that last week you sent me a picture with you and Scott H. Byram, and you were like, hey, you're gonna like this picture. Kind of tell everybody about what was significant about that picture.
Yeah, we and three good friends, we jumped in the car and we drove to this really little place, this little town somewhere in Belgium, and we had to look for it for about 2 hours, and we couldn't find it. Then finally we decided to ask in this little bar somewhere on the countryside where the concert is, and it turned out we had just found it, you know, was right there in this little bar, right in the middle of nowhere, and turned out we came just in time for the Black Diamond Heavies, and after them, there was Scott H. Byram playing, and we just stood in front of the stage listening to the Black Diamond Heavies, and a friend of mine, he tipped on my shoulder and said, over there, isn't this Scott H. Byram? And I looked over and was like, yeah, you know, greeting him, stuff like that, yelling at him, and he just gave me the fuck finger.
Yeah, there you go.
Who was smiling. No, it was really great meeting him. Really great time, and one of the best concerts I've ever been to.
And it was really awesome that you had had the It Burns When IP logo that you did printed on a shirt. And so in the picture, you got your It Burns When IP t-shirt meeting Scott H. Byram. So it was really awesome.
Yeah. I like the pictures too.
So another big project that you have going on is you're doing the painting for Daddy Mojo Guitars. And can you kind of explain about that project and what's going on with that?
Yeah, Daddy Mojo, he's a custom guitar builder from Montreal, and he asked me about, I don't know, a couple of months ago if I could come up with a logo design for him, so I made that artwork for him, and then he had the idea that I could paint a series of cigar box guitars, so he sent me three of the instruments, not yet built, but with the main parts, and right now I'm in the process of painting on them with a brush, you know, kind of pinstriping, stuff like that, and once I'm done, I'm going to send him back, he's going to finish them up, and then they'll be sold, and so you're going to have to check the website, and yeah.
Awesome.
Well, that's something I'm very, very excited about, because since I feel this great connection to music, it's really, I can, you know, pair these two passions for
sure.
Art and for music in a very special way by painting and designing these instruments.
And it was funny because when we were talking about, you know, things to talk about on the show, you were talking about those doing the paintings for those cigar box guitars, and
yeah.
I had, and then I went on the website and checked it out, and it's an amazing, unique, and it's just an amazing sound that they give out, and it's a really neat project, and I'm really kind of looking into listening to more kind of cigar box guitar music.
Yeah, Lenny, that's the guy from Daddy Mojo. He's a real artist as far as go. They he sent me one, and I never knew how to play guitar, but you know, since he sent me this guitar, I'm really learning, and I can't really put it out of my hands.
So what other kind of projects do you have going on? I know there's some cover art that you've done recently, and why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the other stuff you got going on?
Yeah, I just finished the work for upcoming Hazel Atkins DVD documentary cover artwork that my friend over in Richmond, Virginia, Cousin Waldo, is working on right now. That's something I'm also very excited about. You know, he's been very supportive for me, Cousin Waldo, and it's a big honor to me to have, you know, the opportunity to draw the artwork for a documentary about Hazel Atkins.
So how about you give everybody how to get a hold of you, give them your MySpace address and then your website address.
Yeah, my website address is MuellersJournal.com. That's MuellersJournal.com. And the MySpace site is MySpace.com/ DELINEARE.
All right. Well, Christoph, it was a pleasure having you on the show, man. I love your work. It's amazing, and I appreciate you taking the time to do that artwork for episode 8. And I think we kind of talked a little bit about maybe doing something for another one too.
Sure. Yeah.
Definitely.
I'd be happy to. makes them more awkward for you, sure.
All right, buddy. Well, hey, take care over there in Germany, and like I said, I appreciate you staying up till the ass crack of dawn to be with us.
Yeah, no problem. My honor. You know, thanks for the support and all. And I enjoy your show very much.
All right, man. Thank you very much. And we'll be contacting you soon, all right?
All right.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Hey there, boys and girls. Are you looking for another great website to get your honky-tonk fix? Well, we've got the site for you. Check out Twainville.com. They're filled with your current news and reviews for all your burning needs. Do you like to blog? Then sign up with them and keep in touch with all your hillbilly friends. Don't delay. And go to Twainville.com today.
Okay, so we just got done listening to Black Mountain by Creech Holler. I want to give Christoph Mueller another shout-out and say thank you again for being on the show, and thanks for all the awesome artwork you've done. I want to let everybody know about the It Burns When I Pee Fantasy Football Update. Yes, if you have subscribed to the It Burns When I Pee blog, you can check out our press conference every Tuesday. But as of November 28th, we are now 7-5. We've clinched a playoff spot. And we're sitting third place in the division. So I will definitely give you an update. We got one more regular season game, then the playoffs come. We're going to try to work our way to a Super Bowl. I wanted to also remind everybody to subscribe to It Burns When I Pee on iTunes. Yes, we are on iTunes. If you don't want to miss an episode, make sure you go to iTunes and subscribe to us. It's free. I'm not charging you anything. I want to also give out a big old mark to all the websites that are helping us out. TakeCountryBack.com. There's TwangNation.com, there's Twangville.com, and 9Bullets.net is our new partner in crime. So definitely check out 9Bullets.net. And also got to give a big shout-out to Bubba over there at the Outlaw Punk Radio Show. And, of course, none of this would be possible without the help of Section86.com and 86 Productions. So thank you, Andy. Also wanted to give a shout-out to my boy Cowboy. He's been helping us out a lot. And most of all, thank you to the fans for checking us out all the time and listening to us and supporting the show and sending us comments and messages about how you love the show. I really appreciate it, and you're the reason why we do the show. So, of course, as always, everybody's waiting for that one special gal, my little trailer trash bride, Cheyenne. So Cheyenne's going to give us our exit and play another song by Honky Tonk Special. Everybody, thank you very much again. I love doing the show for you guys, and I hope you enjoy it too. And don't forget, get your hank on!
Hey, Blake. Hey, it's Andy from Section86.com and, of course, 86Productions.com. Hey, I want to let you know we got an email from Tim McGraw's people. They're super pissed about you that you've been bashing them. It's freaking hilarious, dude. I got to send it over to you. But, you might want to turn the heat up a little more and say fuck Tim a little bit more. Peace.
Hey there, folks. You've heard us talk about pop country syndrome. If you or a loved one is suffering from PCS, then go to TwangNation.com and get your fix of real country music news. TwangNation.com, because country music shouldn't suck.
I can sing the Mr. Hanky song.
The Mr. Hanky song? How does that go?
Mr. Hanky, the Christmas poo. He loves me and I love Christmas poo.
What the hell is Christmas poo?
Mr. Hanky, the Christmas poo. Haven't you guys ever heard of it?
Well, friends, it's about that time again. We gotta pack up the pickup and head on down to the Dollar General. Gotta get that holiday shopping done, you know. Plus, I have to get Blake's lazy ass outside to put up the Christmas lights. We got one of them nativity scenes at the Goodwill last week. Problem is that it's missing baby Jesus, so we have to have the kids take shifts laying in the basket every night. So we gotta thank Joe Buck and Christopher Mueller for being on the show. They are a couple of great guys. Make sure to check out their prospective websites. Let them know that you heard them on It Burns When I Pee. We also want to hear from y'all, so call us at their dial-in number, 309-761-4227, or email us at itburnswhenipee86@gmail.com. Don't forget to enter the Joe Buck giveaway as well. Merry Christmas, everybody, and a special treat just from yours truly. Here is Honky Tonk Special with their song, Country Motherfucker. And remember, our New Year's bash with Hank Cash will be released on December 28th. Try to stay sober long enough to get it downloaded.
Hey, how's it going, guys? This is Jason Tyler, the Honky Tonkin' Boss Man from Honky Tonk Special. I want to know if it burns when you guys take a poop, because this shit is hot. Looking forward to the next podcast. Take care.
Well, you've been beat up bad, you've kicked someone's ass, and you've seen this world through the bottom of a glass. You're a country motherfucker. Oh, you like country songs at an old country bar. You ride around town in your old rusty car, singing David Allen Coe and old Johnny Cash. No, if that ain't country, you can kiss my ass. Cause it's 9 to 5, overtime, family fun, Ramona Drive. Sing loud, go fast, white power, white trash. True grit, country motherfucker, motherfucker. And we flip the burden to Bible Bell, Jesus saves the race, hell. Shouting holla, PBR, thanks, hippies, blue collar, true great country motherfucker. Where you slept in the bar on the bathroom floor, you stepped out back to take a piss by the door. You're a country motherfucker. Yeah, you ride around town in an old rusty car, singing old country songs in an old country bar. Some David Allen Coe and old Johnny Cash. Say, if that ain't country, you can kiss my ass. Overtime, family fun, Pomona Drive. Sing loud, go fast, white power, white trash. True grit, country motherfucker, motherfucker. And we flip a bird in the Bible Bell, Jesus saves the race, hell. Shouting holla, PBR, facts, hippies, blue collar. True grit, country motherfucker.
Well, that's a true grit, country motherfucker.